How soon before we lose our much prized status as the gateway to the continent of Africa? This is an issue I've been banging on about for a number of weeks now. The looting of those trucks, the fact that we could not secure the N3, that important corridor of moving goods about the country. We're joined now by Dr. Juanita Maria, who's the chairperson of the South African Association of Freight Forwarders. She's an internationally acknowledged authority on logistics and supply chains, and she's painted a worrying picture about how our ports and logistics systems will lose us the position of being the gateway to the continent. Dr. Juanita Maria, very good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, Mugnani, and good morning to listeners. Can I maybe make a personal note? I'm a great fan of your show.
Oh,
so thank you.
Thank you very much. That puts me on the back foot somewhat. Now I can't ask the tough questions, but here we go. Listen, we have prided ourselves on the status of being the gateway to the continent. There are those who'd say we probably have overblown it over the years anyway. Regardless, certainly that status is not one we can hang on to if we can't secure the movement of goods, particularly from Africa's busiest port. Dr. Maria?
Yes, I'm here. I've missed the last sentence or the last words of your sentence, but I think I got the detail. Maybe I'll give you a bit of a background. If you look at Durban, it's a very busy port. We move about roughly in Pier 2, about, let's say, 6,000 containers inbound and about 9,000 containers outbound. And that normally consists of import, export, and the transit cargo through the North-South corridor. So if I say in my article we're busy losing the gateway, it's because I think our government doesn't really understand the importance of a logistics network and how does it support the international trade. Because we can see recently, I mean, if you look at the newspapers and all the development, the Maputo corridor is really making sure that the Maputo harbour is secure. They work on the Lebombo border post. And they want to offer that opportunity to the exporters to use that port. We can see up north as well, Djibouti, Dar es Salaam, Mombasa, we can see Walvis Bay. And if we don't work hard to restore back the trust in our logistics system, we're not going to keep it.
And the problem is not necessarily a new one. You say that the rot began as early as 3 years ago when government didn't act against looting and burning of trucks, particularly, of course, carrying goods from all over the world, from the US, from the EU, from China.
Yes, you're right. It doesn't. I mean, we all know when we look at what happened in 9/11, that was actually a build-up. When we see what's happening now, the 12th of July to the 16th of July, it's deep systemic problems. But that doesn't take the responsibility from us away to say that we need from the government strong leadership. But yes, we in private sector also need to take action. But if we don't have strong leadership, we take hands and we work together and we collaborate and we keep on emphasizing the same message that we need a strong logistics infrastructure to sustain localization. I mean, in one hand, you hear the government, we need to build infrastructure, we need to procure, or we need to manufacture locally. That's correct, and we must do that. But then we need to protect our logistics infrastructure to move those goods.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the policy doesn't talk to each other.
Government seems to have the idea or the thinking that, well, actually, they're not a private security company. This is not really their business to do this.
Well, it's not correct, because if you look at the port, it's been run by government. If you look at the rail infrastructure, it's done by government. I think we as private sector are ready to take hands and say, please, we want to be involved. But as I said in the article as well, there must be a level of maturity, and we don't find it. We find a lot of mistrust in public, in private sector, and we think that we just can't overcome that hurdle to say, let me trust each other, let me communicate openly, and let me share the ideas, and let me build on the future. It seems to really put us every time down in the ditch, and we just go down, down, down.
What about the lack of agility? I mean, as soon as it became clear that this was one of the strategies, one of the things you raised was, for example, if the toll gates had been opened, that might have made a difference.
Yes, because supply chain, as I said, the five underpinning thing is that you need to trust, you need to have quick agility, you need to have resilience, and you need to have sustainability. And none of those things are there. It seems that government just, or whoever, was just standing back and say, well, let you see how the supply chain has been disrupted. And what I think the people doesn't understand, once you disrupt a supply chain, it's not like a switch that you put on and off. It's a long-term effect, and you need to build trust again, and you need to bring back, I can trust you. You will move my cargo. You will deliver it on time. And your network is safe and secure. And I think those parameters or understanding wasn't clear to everyone in the, to everyone outside the supply chain.
If this has been going on for 3 years unabated, do you think it's clear now?
I hope so. We always can believe in a better tomorrow. And I hope that really we can see now with the ports, that the system that's maybe attacked by cyber, we're not clear. But again, it happened Thursday morning, 4:15. And up till now, we're really backing to get clear answers, clear direction. And I think that's not a good scenario to foster growth.
What message is being communicated? Because I would imagine with your international partners, you're being asked some tough questions. What assurances can you give?
That is the problem. I mean, over the weekend, I think the last couple of days, we didn't really sleep in private sector together with probably some of the people in public sector, because if the supply chains are not moving, our terminals, we can't get import containers out of the terminals from Friday, from Thursday morning, 4:15. What happened? We're very dependent on the import products to put into the manufacturer, to ourselves, wherever, and that's not happening. Luckily, yesterday evening, I got a call to say that private sector is going to help the TPT terminals to make sure that we can get cargo out. But that's something that we can't wait 4 to 5 days. We have to have strong leadership, people that act, that give a strong message out, and that can put the public at large and the business community fears at rest and say we're on top of the problem, and we clearly communicate what is the problem and what is the steps to rectify it. I think that's the only way we can build trust. By hiding it and keeping it away and don't communicate, we don't foster a trust environment, neither a maturity environment.
You're also saying that there's a moratorium as far as the movement of high cube containers. Why is that?
Let me explain to you. In the industry, you get a low bed container and a trailer, and you get a normal trailer. And normally what the industry is doing, they have a normal build trailer because they can move in high cube containers and they can move break bulk cargo. And for some reason, which we also don't understand, they don't want high cube containers on a normal bed trailer on our roads. And we move millions of them. But again, there's not a clear message, there's not a clear purpose, there's not a logic, and we don't fail to understand why do we go on this road. And I think that's the reason what the private sector wants to ask. We are not anti-government or anti-anything. We will follow if it just makes logic sense.
But one of the things you're saying, you know, you're not anti-government. There is a sense that many businesses are afraid to speak up, right? Because they don't want to be targeted. They don't want reprisals from government. And so the other thing that allows this lack of policy cohesion is that government gets away with it because people want to walk a fine line.
You're right, because which company wants to be blame and shame? I mean, we don't, because, I mean, everyone's got a brand, you've got a brand image, you want to make sure that you can deliver, and what's the worst thing for business? If you really attack their brand.
In the meantime, of course, other regional players, the East African community, for example, if you're trying to get cargo from the Gulf, from the Far East, it's going to be a lot easier to get to a lot of places if you do it, let's say, via Djibouti or via Mombasa.
Yes, and I think also the unintended consequences is that in South Africa, because we were proud ourselves as a gateway, so you've got the North and South corridor that's coming and you create a balance. The moment you create a balance, you can offer competitive prices. If we allow now that East Africa trade to go through the northern port and not through our port, we've created an imbalance of cargo. And then our rate per container becomes much more expensive. So there's other factors at play that we need to make sure that we need to protect, and we need to keep the balance of cargo and the movement to make sure that we become competitive. And that's where we probably see it's okay when people say, let the cargo move away, but you distort the balance in the pricing structure.
It sounds like you need a round table. It sounds like you need a discussion with somebody. Who should you be talking to?
Well, I think if you ask me, it's definitely the Department of Trade and Industry, the Department of Transport, the rail infrastructure, the port. It's really a cohesive plan that we need to craft together and to say that if we want development in trade, we also need to look at the logistics and all the different nodes and how they fit together. And there must be a mastermind or a master plan, and we must protect all the linkages.
We need, as you say in your piece in the Sunday Times yesterday, we need an active, capable and progressive government. The question is, do we have the imagination to do all of the things you've outlined? Appreciate your time. Dr. Juanita Maria, the chairperson of the South African Association of Freight Forwarders.